Kendi and Ravo podcast, sponsored by Maves and the Garavo Bar.
You know that bitte in German means please?
Yeah.
So the Sligo way, you know the way Sligo people, when things are stressing them out, they say, please.
Yeah.
And I think other people say it as well around bitte. The country. Yeah, you just go, bitte. Oh, I had to crack myself up.
Anyway, that's of no interest to anybody. I mean, look at my YouTube suggestions. Like,
what are you getting? Minnie Mouse?
Aaron, Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse and oh my God. Like, you know, like it's sometimes Ali is like Father Jack.
Yeah.
So she has selective hearing. Like,
she just wants what she
so
wants.
So you'd be like, Ali, will we change your bum? And she's like, oh, she never hears that. Like,
yeah.
Or, Ali, come on now, we go to bed. Doesn't hear it at all. Ali, do you want to watch television? True. Minnie. That straight away. Like,
Minnie.
She does. Yeah, Minnie is what she says. Then, Minnie.
Do you want to go over and visit Louise's dog?
Boy. Anyway, yeah, the language is flying on. Marcus, kids, nobody cares at all. Doesn't matter. James is here flicking the keys off himself because me and Ray said we came to an executive decision. If we're going to celebrate 250, we can't have Brendan here wrecking it.
Episode 250 episodes.
And the special guest is James flicking the keys off himself.
James flicking the keys, yeah, but at least he'll, you know.
Well, we wanted to bring it to our favourite trifecta of people.
Yeah. James, we're very pleased that you could do tonight.
Now, Brendan is sick.
Well.
Did we make him sick? Maybe.
Not a man for calling in sick or taking annual leave.
Maybe someone shitting his cornflakes. I don't know, but he has a dicky belly now.
Maybe he's shitting his own cornflakes.
Maybe I'm going and to shit in his cornflakes in the future. Who knows? It's all ahead of us, lads. We don't know what's going on.
You brought a tasty beer.
I did for 250.
52 lads in a box room.
Drinking Astras.
Lies now. Drinking an Opel Astra.
Yeah, drinking an Opel Astra. And this was sent on by the wonderful Sarah Ploss.
The Plossinator.
Yeah.
So and
she brought them from Germany.
Yeah,
Germany.
My fridge is broke. So it took,
Deutschland.
Took 5 weeks for them to reach temperature.
Not lovely.
However, we have drank this before. So the it will be disingenuous. I'm just going to go, I enjoyed this anyway.
250. To 250.
Come here, do you reckon imagine if we do make it to 1,000. If you look at the likes of Junkie Joe Rogan and all them boys.
Yeah.
Like he has 2,000 episodes of.
They're out of the wire.
We could make 1,000 episodes. I was chatting to someone. Big shout out to Leah out there. The big 1-1 on her.
Right.
She got a 1-1 in her.
I thought you were talking about an 11-year-old.
She did a savage exam, is pretty much what I'm saying.
I'm always in awe of people that
anyway,
get 1-1s.
She was there with a gentleman, right? And she said, oh, Mark here is a podcaster. And he was like, oh, yeah, cool, yeah, whatever, you know? Mm. And then he was like, how many episodes have you done? And I was like, well, we're doing 250 next week. And he was like, oh, right, so it's actually a podcast. Because anyone could say, oh, yeah, big podcast, and they recorded two episodes, no one listens.
Yeah, but it's.
We recorded 250 episodes and no one listens.
Quality over quantity sometimes.
We put out a lot of
quantity.
Good quantity of stuff.
That's really nice beer. I have to say now, if anyone can rush out to a shop in Germany, if you happen to be there, and get a tin of Astra Urtype.
That's Urtype.
Site 1909.
Yeah, that is Urtype.
Mit Liebe Gerbut, St. Pauli im Herzen.
From St. Pauli.
My German is coming on fierce.
Ever since.
Yeah, bitter.
Unbelievable. If you bitter.
Bitter.
If you please, is what that means. We're savage in German. Come here. I don't like. Is this supposed to be a big celebratory episode,
what kind of crack are we going to? We're tired. It's been 250 episodes.
And it's not going to be deluxe extravaganza either. Like, there's no guests really. There's no.
No, just James.
Yeah, but and we are kind of tired though, aren't we? Really. You know, we are just kind of tired in ourselves. I'm not saying today,
No, I'm tired today. I had a very tough weekend, which I'll tell you about now momentarily.
Well, you had a very tough weekend, tipping around the place, enjoying your life.
I didn't. Just because you had to stay in and mind the baby.
Yeah, no, well, I prefer that. Nicola, so we saw pictures. You're going to talk about the
Night and Day Festival.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to talk about the.
Oh yeah, I had that too. Russell Crowe's indoor garden party.
Yeah, so
I did have a nice weekend.
We will get on to that eventually. Yeah. But what I will say about it is, me and Nicola were sitting at home yesterday.
Yeah,
and there was copious amounts of photographs going up online.
Oh yeah,
and then we looked and said, we're the only ones that didn't go.
That's right, you were the only ones that didn't go. But you have family now.
Yeah, but does that mean that we get away with this? My favorite part of it
no
all,
one cares,
actually,
is what it means.
Because I said to Nicola, yeah, but Nicola, we're so ignorant now that no one asked us. No yeah, one even, they said they won't go to that. Like.
You never popped into my head.
Never even popped into the head. So, which is a real, that is a victory.
Yeah.
Because finally.
Well, is it a victory?
People have stopped asking me to do stuff.
Oh, I don't know. Might not be good for you.
It's perfect.
It's good for you. You think it's good. I feel bad, by the way. You've just reminded me of something. Donny Galdaddy tagged, put a little comment on our live show advertisement.
Did he?
And he said, who's that guy beside you, Ray, with the hair? Because obviously you always wear a hat in the promo picture.
Oh, yeah.
And we have new logos now, thanks to Noonboy, who has designed us up a beautiful new logo.
Yeah, it's unreal. And the photos were taken by James.
James, yeah. But everybody's shocked at your hair. And I regret it now, but in responding to Donegal Daddy, I said he went away to Turkey and got his hair fixed.
Yeah,
and then I kind of went, I'm after writing that up on the internet. That's not what I should have done.
And also, Donegal Daddy, Micheál himself.
Yeah.
Has been trying out some hair products to get his hair to grow back. So you really dug into him. A man who is worried about his hair growth.
It's nothing to worry about. It's fine. It's acceptable to be worried about it.
But you really went for the killer. You were like, if you ever insult Mike Hendy again.
It was just one of those moments there. I didn't insult. I insulted you. I said you went to Turkey.
Didn't because, as Alan Clark will always tell you, I have a beautiful hairline. I'm going to have that be edged on. Mark Kennedy to see that 2024.
Now that
beautiful
I know we're jumping here.
We are jumping a good bit, Ray, but the excitement's 250. I'm fit to burst.
I know. The drink is kicking in as well.
I'm trying to get all my good excitement out because I want to give out eventually.
Oh, I know, anyway. And you will. I'll give you plenty of reason.
Woo!
You mentioned Alan Clark.
Yeah.
You see, people might know from listening to our podcast this last while, I've been on a history of Rome Buzz, which was 179 episodes, which I happened to get through.
Shitting Jesus.
All 74 hours of content in about 4 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, did a lot of listening.
Okay.
But now it's over.
Yeah.
Sadly. And it's finished and I have to
And you now
that.
Know everything.
I now know the history of Rome from the period 600 BC right up to about 450 something.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But now I have time now to go and listen to other podcasts. And the first one on my list was Alan Clark's Big News podcast.
Yes.
So I've got stuck back into that.
I have been listening.
Have
well.
You? Yeah. Now, I want to know, did you listen to a particular one, which I think you might have been drawn to. I listened to the Steve O'Timothy one. I enjoyed that, I have to say. I would recommend that one. That was good that we listen. The next one I jumped to was the Robert Mizell episode.
Yeah.
Have you listened to the Robert Mizell episode?
Yep. Yes, I have.
Right. First thing I'd like to say is I would recommend that everybody, if you have a spare hour and a half in your life.
Brilliant.
I think you'd enjoy it. I don't know which way you'll enjoy it.
No, I think you will enjoy it. Like.
But it's Christ above. First of all, I've decided I'm going to start talking to myself in the third person. Because when Robert Mizell was, and Robert Mizell is a very interesting individual, and when he was chatting to Alan Clark, he kept saying, if Robert Mizell is going to play in your venue, Robert Mizell is going to bring the best show.
Well, when Mark Kennedy was listening to that Robert Mizell episode, Mark Kennedy did find himself thinking, Robert Mizell is using himself in the third person, but that takes confidence, right?
That takes serious confidence, but only an American could pull that off.
Only an American.
Irish people wouldn't talk about themselves in the third person.
No, Irish people can't get away with that. Yeah, only Americans
that's how you
can.
Know the Americans from the Irish.
No.
Yeah.
And you say it with he does say it with confidence. But I have to say, I was really impressed by Robert Mizell. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be, but I was really impressed
by it, I have to say. And he talked about, in fairness, a lot of the episode was talking about some of the more politically charged topics of the day. And as he was chatting, I was immediately getting the hump up and I was getting defensive. But then as I listened to him, I kind of went, okay, well, do you know something? He's very articulate and he put his points across the way he believes them.
Yeah.
And I don't have to agree with him.
That's so true, because I don't agree with him either. But
I enjoyed listening to him speak about it because he spoke about it very well.
Yeah. So And now we'll do one serious thing and then we go back to Robert Mizell being great crack. What I'll say to you is, so Robert Mizell is living, we'll say, in inland Ireland, in a small town. Let's just say that. I'm not using him. I'm using him as an example, but really I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about loads of other. So he talks about the immigration process that happens in Ireland.
He himself an immigrant.
And he himself. But he talks about these IPAS centres and what they really mean, and they're just getting fired up in towns without telling anyone.
Yeah.
So what I would say there is, even if you agree or don't agree with us, you have to take in the scared locals' perspective.
Yeah.
And scared probably isn't even the word. The concerned locals' perspective.
Yeah.
Because what ends up happening this, and you see it on TikTok and all these different streams, is what happens is an IPAS centre gets selected and locals get wind of us, right?
Yeah.
And then they say...
I would love to know who leaks it.
Yeah, but someone leaks it. Somewhere.
Obviously someone in the government is going, we're going to pick Kalala.
No, they don't. Like, if you take... I don't want to zone in on one, but, like, there was, you know, there's one apparently for Casarino, and they found they found out who's going into them, and there's been nothing said since, okay?
Right,
because
okay.
The locals said, okay, well, we know, or
we
whatever,
know
you know?
What's going
so, but what happens is they see... They see the construction boys going into these places that have been idle for 15 years and they go, whoa.
But I wish whoever was doing it started learning from their mistakes.
Do
you know? And started being even more sneaky about
doing it.
Well,
that's way worse.
So literally, I know it's way worse. Yeah. I'm saying this obviously in jest. Yeah. But I'm saying how upset the Irish people would be when they come out someday and it literally is there done.
Yeah.
And they're going, how did they swing that by us? We brought it in at night.
Well, if they want to do that, get the people who fly the Lidl's up everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Get them, the pre-packed
ones. Or McDonald's.
Get BRB home. No, I'm not fucking putting it in.
The BRB bones in. They're really fast.
Oh, he'd have it up in no time.
They're just booking the wrong people to put them up.
But the point I was originally trying to make was that you. What happens is then that gets... So the concerned local then gets overtaken then because all those right-wing loonies then come in and take over the protest process.
Yeah.
And then that wipes all the concern out of the way.
Yeah.
Because it's been taken over by the lunatics.
Yeah.
Do you know? So... Mm. Like, let's say, we'd say Casserie, for instance. Let's say if my mother was to ring me and go, Mark, I heard that they're turning the Owen Mill into one of those things. Like, And then she's clearly a woman in her 70s now, kind of going, oh, gee, I don't know about this now. I've heard stories like about this stuff, you know? So she's actually concerned.
Because it's very prominent in the media.
And then, it's very prominent in the media. They're being told, oh, it's scary now. Mm-hmm. Like, when these boys, all these men who come in and, you know, and maybe some of them are wankers, probably. There's wankers everywhere.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that then gets wiped out when the flutes come in and take over that process. And then the concerned locals then are all racists.
Yeah.
And they're kind of going, I've kind of lived in this town for 50 years. I thought I might have a say in what happens maybe.
Yeah.
Like, or a right to say something.
Yeah.
But then the racists come in and ruin everything on everyone.
They always ruin everything
for
everybody.
They always ruin everything on everyone.
It's one thing I find about the racists.
Did I ever tell you about World War II? Did I ever tell you about that?
They just ruined it.
Wait to hear this.
Going really well. And
flying.
Then just ruined it.
Ray, Europe was flying, right?
Wait
to tell you what happened then. while we drink
this could
beer.
Be strong stuff. This could be an interesting episode.
Anyway, if you listen to Mazzella
James,
episode,
could you ring a taxi for us?
But Mazzella gets into it a bit, but I have to say, I'm really enjoying the Adam Clark podcast lately as well.
Was there any favourite moments? Because this is why I want people to listen to this episode. I had one or two favourite moments from the Robin.
Oh, when he went after the one man. So I loved that moment. He went after the one man shows. And I agree with him.
He obviously runs a big fancy country band.
Yeah.
So they come in and they
work
put up all
really
the fancy
hard.
Lights and the best musicians and the whole lot.
Yeah.
He kind of went, hold on now, there's one pieces and two pieces going around and sure, it's just...
Yeah, they're playing to backing tracks.
And they're taking all my gigs.
Yeah, they're taking all my gigs for
half the price.
Yeah. And actually, Robert Mazzell, my man, give me a ring and we can both cry together. And I don't mean that patronizing-wise.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, I know. There is,
and I'm lucky.
Truth to it, like.
There was loads of truth to it. I come from both sides.
Yep.
I play with bands every weekend and I also gig on my own.
Mm.
And I know what has happened. I know what has happened in this country.
Yeah.
I know what
You're
has happened.
You're the problem.
There's one man gigs and we all sound the fucking same and we're fired into pubs over and over and over and over and over again.
Because it's cheaper than a band.
Because it's cheaper than a band and also young ones nowadays or people nowadays don't care. They just want you to play what they want you to play.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider to get a grassroots movement together of one man's going, let's stop this now. Let's get the bands back in the pubs. Let's all the one man stop doing pub gigs.
It's like Airbnb.
And combine to make back. Like, you still get paid the most, but you get to play with your friends.
Yeah.
So you and three of the other lads, Dean Mahan,
if I get to pick
Stewie,
the bands.
And... Yeah. The three piece.
Yeah, no, I get to
three
pick
amigos.
The bands, so I'm going to pick... I'll pick everyone's bands, though. You and James are in a band together now.
If all the musicians of the town got put together.
And
then the pubs couldn't book one people anymore.
If we did it like American sports and we did a draft...
Oh, yeah.
So there's captains.
Yes.
And live broadcast.
Yes.
Right? A live broadcast on the Kendi Rainbow podcast. We will do a live draft. Ladies and gentlemen, with his third pick, Ray McAndrew picks Sean O'Reilly.
That's a very good combination. Now, Sean and Ray have worked together in the past.
There's pundits and everything.
Yeah, Sean won't be happy now. He's lost the Nathan Carter gig.
He got drafted.
Back with Ray.
And it'd be class if you had like you had a certain salary.
Yeah.
Well, Sean's used to pulling in 350 a week. Yeah. So Ray's next pick is going to have to be 80 quid. It's going to have to be an 80 quid because you're a salary cap.
Oh, I've only got so much I can spend.
Yeah, you've
on
only
money.
Got £800 you can spend on your band. So but you have to pick properly.
You've reminded me as well. We had an idea. I don't think we spoke about it in the podcast. We were going to do the wedding band, the Sligo Wedding Band Awards.
I think it's the best idea for a video, but let's not explain the whole video in case we ever do it.
Essentially, it's only, there's four or five wedding bands in Sligo.
Yeah.
We were thinking of doing our own awards night in the Radisson some night. So it's just the four or five bands there. Yeah.
But with the real awards that people want to win.
I think we should all get participation medals as well at that award.
Yes, of course, because we're all. But that it's the awards you want to win, not like.
What were we talking about?
Not
Robert
like
Mizzell.
Best wedding band. Anyway.
Come back to Robert. He went after the one man bands. That was lovely.
Yeah.
He had a couple of what I'd like to call Ron Burgundy moments.
What does that mean?
Just, you know when you hear an American talking?
Yeah.
It just reminds you sometimes of Ron Burgundy from Anchorman. The way he described his lovely wife, I was probably the most beautiful, nice way of, I was actually going, Jesus, it's a pity I can't describe Laura like that.
Yeah, we don't articulate the
no,
same way.
They don't. They've a great way of putting the, like, again.
Especially Southern Americans.
Yeah,
like,
we don't have a way of
this girl's hotter than a grasshopper in a summer day in Arizona. That's, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly. He called her a pet of a woman.
Ah, it's beautiful.
My wife is a pet of a woman.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
And I have to say, fair play to him.
Yeah.
Because that's nice to hear a man talking about his wife like
it's better
that.
Than fair play to you.
Yeah, it's better like what you say about Nicola.
What, the head nurse?
Yeah.
No. I'm only joking. I call Nicola an angel every day.
Yeah, that's what struck me now is the difference between you and him in that regard.
What are you talking about? Yeah. I call Nicola an angel every single day of her life.
Yeah, I suppose you do, yeah.
I do.
To her face, behind her back.
And I call, in fairness, now whether they like it or not, I call every woman in the country lovey.
That is quite endearing.
And some of them say it back to me then, like as if to say, I'd say, Rebecca Lovey, can I have a pint? You can, Mark Lovey. I love that. I love
that. It's nice now, I like it.
So you need some kind of a term of endearment, and they are brilliant at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's a pest of a woman.
That's the ad anyway for the Alan Clark Big Pop.
I didn't even realise.
Yeah.
We're after boosting them up through the roof.
Totally, genuine. It was genuine, in fact.
Well, he is definitely kind of a quality over quantity guy. We're quantity. Let's hammer out shit every week.
Every week we'll give you an hour of us talking shy.
Shit. And he's going, I'll give you proper stuff.
I'll give you stuff.
And I'll do 8 episodes and then I'll stop for a while and then I'll do 8 more.
Yeah.
I wish we could learn from him.
I wish we could.
Come here. Can I fucking give out, Ray? I mean, can I give out or not
I'm
give out?
I'm coming now. I'm coming.
Are you coming now?
You ready?
No, what I want to give out about something.
Oh, you have something you want to give out about?
No, I want to give out about the HSE. Has anyone ever done that before? No.
No.
No one's ever given out about
the HSE.
They're
quite well respected and well regarded.
Yeah, amazing.
People.
Listen, I'm all for it. The people who work in the HSE. Woo, 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 woo.
Why do I feel like there's
if I could
coming?
Still go out clapping every night, 8 o'clock. I would.
That was a different
health
service.
That was the NHS that did
that.
Yeah,
a different
really
health service,
I was going to say, because that gets muddled up in my mind.
I know, there was the HSE as well, like.
Yeah, but I didn't stand outside the door and clap them once.
I did.
Did you?
Of course I did.
You must have been the only fella doing it.
Yeah, because they were doing a great job.
But did you just do it on your own back?
Yeah, it was really weird.
I'm way off out now,
clapping
Laura.
Like an Egypt.
Just go clapping for the HSE. No, the one thing I will say, there seems to be, can you explain to me, or do you know, how do we staff our HSE?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
Lots of managers that really love to hire. Let's get everybody, like, to be one person doing the job.
Yeah.
And they'd have 200 people making sure that one person is doing the job. That's how I see it. I could be wrong.
But what I wanted to get into was how, I'm just wondering, are they staffed? And maybe someone out there will tell us. Are they staffed kind of on a supply and demand kind of a thing?
Oh.
So they do hire loads of people when it gets bad and then let people go again?
No way.
In terms of nurses. I'm just wondering.
What is your particular example?
Well, first of all, like when me and Nicola were going for a scan at 20 weeks, we got a phone call from, which I think is the most amazing maternity ward in the country. We got a phone call from Sligo Maternity Ward, or certainly their ultrasound section, to say.
Their ultrasound.
Their ultrasound.
It's just the way you said it there.
They
like,
are ultrasound.
I was like, you really like that section, don't you?
They're ultrasound.
Yeah, yeah.
They said, we have staffing problems at the moment.
Oh, okay.
We're sending you to a private clinic in Longford.
Lovely. All expenses paid job.
All expenses paid job. Yeah. So we landed into a lovely midwife who, wherever it was, they're an ultrasoundist.
Yeah. She's an ultrasound lady.
She's an ultrasound lady.
Yeah.
And she did it. And we were like, we got sent up for this. And she said, we're the amount of hospitals that are understaffed now, we're getting loads of them.
Yeah.
And then I went at that time, but why don't they hire staff then rather than paying the private hospital? Yeah. I'm sure it's costing them a fortune.
But that, now in fairness, the way of dealing with all these problems is
throw
money at it.
throw money at us.
Yeah, in fairness.
So, so that's what I'm wondering. And then I'm wondering, is the understaffing because people won't work for the HSE?
No, the understaffing, in fairness, I do think there's genuinely a shortage of skilled labour in that. Anyone that qualifies as a nurse would be an awful lot better off, sun in their cheeks.
So,
on a beach in Bondi.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of them say, no, I'm going to go travel anyway to Australia. Mm. But then I'm wondering, do some of them say, I got offered a job in the rotunda or something.
Yeah.
And they go, I have to live with six people.
And I have to work 87 hours a week.
I'm a full professional.
Yeah.
And I'm after being told I'd probably never be able to afford a house on this salary.
Yeah, that's true.
I might just fuck off. Yeah. I might just
There's
fuck
a lot
off.
Of factors like...
Yeah, there's a lot of factors. Yeah. So it's not just the, oh, well, we're offering the jobs and they're not going. People are going, why would I take a job here? Yeah. There's no prosperity here, like, for anything. Like, So we got a phone call from them saying, look, we don't have the staff here to look after that anymore. So now they're just firing it into private places.
At least the job's getting done.
Oh, the job's getting done, even though it took a 20-week scan was done at, 24 weeks. But then, anyway, Nicola needs a procedure done. That vexed me now when that happened. I was like, I tried Longford to... scan. Anyway, we did it.
Did you not? Was that not a big day for you though?
Because I met Big Joe Joyce. Thank God. So I would have been given out about this a lot earlier.
Part of me's kind of thinking, what's for you? One pass, you the HC did you favour there.
My mother would have said that plenty.
Yeah.
That is so true because I met my hero. Well, I saw my hero. I didn't
you saw
get to
him
meet
from a distance at a funeral.
I did. I wouldn't dare approach him.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, Nicola then needs a little procedure on what they call a cyst on her hand.
Right.
Now, she
not
has
a bad,
been,
is there something as bad cysts?
Oh, there is. It could be bad, but this one is not.
This is
not.
It's only, not said a bad word to you.
No, it hadn't said a bad word.
Fair enough.
No.
Okay.
I'll give it that.
Yeah.
It's on her little hand, and it only gets sore when it kind of flares up, and it might get a bit sore.
Yeah.
Nothing really wrong with it. She said it a couple of years ago now.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Shut up, Nicola.
So she didn't say it to the cyst. You're fucking back in my head. She went into a doctor and said, come here, should I get something done with this? And the doctor said, you should, you should get that removed to hell. I'm going to put you on the list now to get that removed, which is obviously very far down the list.
Yeah.
Wasted and wasted, years and years and years go by, nothing done.
Yeah.
Nicola falls pregnant for a second time. Via my Mickey.
I love the way you call it falling.
Yeah, she fell pregnant.
She literally fell on you.
Via my Mickey.
I suppose, when you think about it, not that I want to think about it, that is what happens.
Well, she didn't fall.
She goes up.
She was more kind of thrown.
Okay, move on. Everybody kind of falls pregnant. Unless they're on,
I mean, if I can say, I kind of threw over it.
She would fall at the time it happened.
Well, she...
A very small amount, probably, because knowing you're... Anyway.
Can we just stop now?
Go on. Great
she
beer.
She killed me. Yeah. Lovely beer, Ray, I must say. So anyway, so she gets a call then to say, we're going to look after that yoke. You won't find it now, Nick. We'll have that yoke looked after.
You won't find it now.
She said, well, can I go under any kind of anaesthetic then, obviously, because I'm going to have to get this thing removed.
Yeah. Which,
and they said, you will have to. Yeah, you'll have to. She said, I am pregnant.
Pregnant, can't do that.
They said, we hear you. Say no more. Right. 2 weeks later, that was Sligo Hospital. 2 weeks later, Roscommon Hospital. Nicola Lovey, we're after getting told you need that yoke done. Call down.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm pregnant. No, you can't. Definitely not.
Right.
Couple of weeks later, will you just call down and see us anyway?
Did this actually happen?
Yeah. Will you just call down and see us, Roscommon Hospital? And she said, okay, I will. I'll call down and see you.
Yeah.
It's what they call a consultation.
Right.
She said, oh,
that is where they take 250 euros off you.
Now, she then said, well, I've had a consultation.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we haven't seen it, Jess.
Why is Sligo and Roscommon both ringing her?
They won't talk to each other. Sligo and Roscommon. They won't. Not since Connacht final.
But the thing is, her doctor obviously, her doctor decided to play off two hospitals and sent the letter to both.
No, I think what happened was in Sligo, they had said, we're going to get that procedure done in Roscommon. Don't worry about us. She said, I can't do that.
Oh.
And then Sligo said, like what I do, loads.
Yeah.
I must tell Roscommon that she's not getting it done.
Yes, but they didn't talk.
And then something happened then.
Yeah.
And then they forgot.
So now Roscommon around. Come on
so
down.
So then Roscommon come on down. And Nicola said, well, I can't do it. Anyway, they said, will you call down for a consultation? I've already had one in Sligo. Call down and it will see us. I don't trust them Sligo boys.
Jesus.
That's not what they said.
But I like the way they're pitching the two hospitals.
It does also bring up the question, though, of we need to start digitalizing these.
Yes, very much.
Anyone,
so.
Doctors need to be able to just pull up your file. For God's sake, you know, stuff not getting sent. Anyway, they said Saturday, call down and see us 11:15 on Saturday. You'll be in the house.
Right.
No bother. I said, Nicola, I'm gigging with one of the finest wedding bands in the country, Blue Moose, tonight.
Yeah.
I have a set list to learn.
Yeah.
11:15 in Roscommon. They said it won't be long.
Yeah.
We land there at 11:00 and they said to her, we had a couple of procedures booked in this morning. We're running a little bit late.
Fair enough.
I said, that's funny, because when you book everything in, you'd usually make time for all the bookings.
You know
that you
yourself,
in.
Though, things get a little bit delayed.
I said to Nicola, we're not going to lose the head here, because they could have been emergencies.
Yeah, of course.
They weren't. Anyway, it was just procedures they had done.
Yeah.
So, the guy, plastic surgeon, the skin guy who's supposed to come and see her thing, isn't around an hour. It's all right. I'll mind Ali in the car. Don't worry about us. Mm. Half two.
What?
Half two.
Half two what?
Nicola
when
rings.
You went for, when you got, what?
Nicola rings and says, I'm outside the office now. I'm about to go in.
Oh my God. So she's sitting there for 2.5 hours.
She's 7 months pregnant, and her hormones, like as in her emotions, are, she is crying like outside.
She's fit to kill someone.
Like I'm sitting out in the car with a child. I took Ali out of the car about 10 times. Like,
go for a little walk.
And just to do something. Brought her down the town, all this stuff, and kept coming back. No, they're not seeing me yet.
I had a lovely image of you sitting down the town in one of the local pubs. Seven Ali up at two high stools.
Ali was on the fruit machine.
Yeah.
She was fucking... I was like, I'll sober up by the time we finish here anyway. It doesn't matter hell. No, so eventually they see her like, and Nicola goes in and like they say, how are you doing? Like, and she can't control it. Like Nicola's like, I'm really frustrated.
I'm raging
like,
with Ollie.
Yeah. And they say, yeah, sorry, we're just busy there today.
Yeah.
Which made me think that they have said that so much.
Yeah.
They're so understaffed and they've said that so much that any kind of human emotion part has nearly been taken out of it by them as well.
Yeah.
Because they're going, I've had women roaring at me and fellas roaring at me all day long.
Yeah. They're immune to it now.
I'm just immune to it.
Yeah.
So Nicola wasn't even roaring at them. She was just upset, like, really upset. Like, and they were just like, oh yeah. Anyway, your one then goes to her, looks at us and says, I'm actually kind of a skin doctor.
What?
I'm just a skin doctor. I shouldn't really be looking at that. It should be the hand doctor you're looking at.
Oh God.
And Nicola says, how long is it going to take him to come and look at this?
Yeah.
And she says, oh no, he's free. Like, I'll get him up.
Oh, it is.
He comes up, looks at it for a minute and says, yeah, no bother. We'll get you in for a surgery on that. I can't, I'm pregnant. Okay, well, let us know then, so when you're... And she's gone a minute and a half later.
How much to charge?
I have no clue. I don't know how much to charge for us. That's not the point. The point is, like, no one is talking to each other.
No.
This fella's probably waiting all day. He's not... Your one is flat to the mass.
Yeah.
The skin doctor. Your man is probably sitting there and she goes, oh, I shouldn't be looking at that joke. It should be your man. I'll get him there now. He's ready, like... And he looks at it for 30 seconds. Nicola was like, I can't believe this is after half. And look, in the grand scheme of things, waiting around for 3 hours for the appointment, is it the worst thing in the world?
No.
But is it crazily inconvenient?
Did you leave them a review on TripAdvisor?
You're after getting on to the point I wanted to make.
Oh, you wanted to set up TripAdvisor for these people.
But who's accountable?
Oh, no one.
No one.
Yeah.
So you can't complain anywhere.
Not really,
All you do is go home annoyed at this silly system that we've set up.
Yeah.
A health minister who's in charge now, all of a sudden, the whole country, nothing gets fixed. A children's hospital costs $1 billion+.
Yeah.
That was still not done, by the way.
That's where all the money's going.
That's not where all the money's going, but that's where a load of money. But you know what I mean? Like, the incompetency in the HSC, and it's not the people that work there.
Nope.
It is absolutely not. I guarantee you, everyone that's working there is trying their best. I guarantee you. Where does it stop, though? Who can Kendi give out to eventually? I want to see the manager if you're in a restaurant.
You could do that, Jeff.
That steak, I want to see the manager. What happens? They go. Yeah.
No, there's no getting around it at all. And that's one thing.
We just have to put up with it.
It's such a big organisation that you'll never see the manager.
Never.
The 47... In fairness, the KGB wasn't set up as well. They have so many layers.
It's so true.
That the Russian KGB would probably look at it and go, that's not a bad idea now the way they've set it up.
Honest
there.
Honest to
now,
God, yeah.
So, very sorry.
I nearly said something terrible. I won't. Definitely not. Not on 250. I'll tell you after. Okay. Anyway, it was just... I ended up going, oh my God, like this. And thank God it's a free system to a certain extent. Like, if that was America without health insurance, that would have cost 10 grand probably to get that consultation.
That'd be even more frustrating.
Yeah, you'd be like, what the fuck? But they probably would have had it right, though. That's the only problem. There would have been someone there
waiting
for
you. Very sorry to hear now. You had a tough one
like,
Saturday.
My sister's also pregnant in America.
Yeah.
And she has, we'd say, health insurance and all this. And she's like, yeah, you handpick your gynecologist. He sees you whenever you do that. And then I was going, I'd fucking pay into that system if it was ready to go, like, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the balance trying to guess. Do we have a social system where everyone's kind of looked after?
I like the idea of the NHS. When it was working right. Of course, when they left Europe, all of a sudden it all fell apart.
What is it about the NHS that you
like? NHS was, like, for a long time there, the NHS was a shining light in how you run a health system in a country. Mm. And you know me, I'm fond of the British.
He loves the British. British system, actually. Doesn't matter. What do you think of the British housing system? Brilliant. Red brick, perfect.
No, I don't like red brick. don't like red brick houses. Sorry, Joanne. After realizing my sister has a red brick house, it's not my favorite color in the house.
No.
And I don't know why that is. Anyway, but British, anyway, the NHS, I do think for quite a long time, they ran a very effective free healthcare service where everything was just, it was staffed right, it was funded right, and there was people that really cared.
Yeah.
From at all levels. I'm not saying that the people in the HC, in the Department of Health here in this country don't care. I believe they do. But somehow we've managed to arse it up.
Yeah.
Somehow. And a typical Irish thing to do, let's take the British system and let's make a shite of it.
And what I would think is, and maybe this is the best way to rationalise it in my head, it has to be a management. There has to be somewhere up along the way, there's a management line that are... separated from us, they don't see us and all, and they're just in that middle management role.
I think when they moved it out of local, local stuff.
Yeah, like, I mean the HSE used to be called the Western Health Board.
Exactly,
here, you know.
Yeah,
and then the Western Health Board looked after the Western Health Board.
Like. Exactly. Yeah. So I think there's probably management decisions down the last couple of years have affected it, but I feel sorry for anyone working in it.
Yeah,
because it must be awful frustrating because you're doing your best and somehow some other thing is letting you down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mental.
I always wondered about hospitals as well. You know when they said there's so many people on trolleys?
Yeah.
Like, again, Donalburn, BRB Homes, let them put up an old hospital there beside the hospital with double the number of beds in it. But of course, you can throw up the beds, no problem.
Yeah.
Unless you have the nurses back from Australia, we're kind of
screwed. That's the problem.
So they're the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're listening from
HSC,
Australia...
The HSE can spend money.
Come on home.
Come on home, will you, girls? And come on into my gigs as well again with all you. Jesus
we miss you
Christ.
On many fronts.
We miss you all. We miss your fronts. We do. And your backs.
On that note...
We missed the backside. You had the front side.
Right. I have a question for you.
Oh yeah, go on.
It's
yeah,
not
yeah.
a HC related question.
Okay, good.
Have you heard of a sugar daddy?
I know what a sugar daddy is.
Have you heard of a sugar baby?
What is a sugar baby?
Oh, no, your mind went different way there. Did you? No.
What's a sugar baby?
A sugar baby.
Is a sugar baby three piece?
No. No.
Isn't there?
A sugar.
If you're ready for this girl, is that girls allowed? Is it?
I think so. Yeah.
Is it?
What? How? Where does it? Where do you get sugar baby on that?
Sugar babes.
Oh,
the sugar babes used to have. Push the button and let me roar.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, good. Well spotted. Sugar baby. I didn't know this because last night we were at the Russell Crowe, which we'll get to.
Oh, yeah. Gig. Fuck. Jesus.
I know we've
We better
time.
Get to
yeah,
this.
We're
yeah.
getting to I'll fly through this
yeah,
now.
Yeah, go on.
So we're at this gig last night. Janet Devlin.
Devlin, yeah.
You'll remember her from such things as the television.
That's right.
And
she was
and the singing.
Yes.
On the television.
On the television.
She was. And she was singing, she was doing support. Yeah. To Russell Crowe. One of her songs was about sugar babies. She said, do you know what a sugar baby is? And I sat there all 40 years of my life going, I haven't a clue.
Not a clue.
It's the opposite of a sugar daddy.
You buy stuff for your baby?
No. You...
The baby buys stuff for me?
If you have an older lady, perhaps, with loads of money...
Oh, yeah.
You could be her sugar baby.
Yeah, I'm on.
Now,
I'm
and that's what I, as soon as she said it, I went, I bet you Kendi'd love that.
Yeah, into the dust. Yeah, let's go. Honestly, Ray, I'd do it just to make sure.
For a second, you'd be straight into the dust.
Let's go for it, Ray.
Yeah. And basically what she'd do is she'd
be like trying to ride the Sahara Desert.
Yeah, but go to the beach and try and stop it now. Stop.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I know that. So you would obviously be this lady's toy boy. So this lady would say maybe she's widowed, maybe she's inherited an awful lot of money, and obviously over her life she's got a lot of money.
It's disingenuous to say me now. Like there could be fellas who are ripped as bulls and look well, and then they would be
yeah. But imagine
baby.
If you got the sugar baby job.
Yeah, it's far fetched.
Do you think you'd enjoy it? Like you'd just be a thing of pleasure.
There'd probably be 5 or 6 minutes a night I wouldn't enjoy, but the rest of us would be worth it.
Yeah.
I love talking to older people.
How would you feel though amongst your peers if you're hanging out with the lads now? Going a stag, and we all knew that you were, you know, Mary McGee's sugar baby.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Ray. If you don't enjoy us, I'll have a quick look at my Rolex and say I think it's time for me to go. That's the way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. Yeah,
I'm very possession based.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
No, it's
time for me to go in the Lamborghini, lads. I can see you're not happy with the situation.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's a funny one with fellas. You don't see it as much, probably.
No. I wouldn't say fellas would tell people as much.
You see women with, like, who are going for older fellas, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I don't know why that is, though. Why? Yeah. But
you don't see that. You don't see. That's why I hadn't heard of it.
Well, the thing is, oh no, that's sexist. Doesn't right. matter anyway. Here we go.
Move on.
Usually, now, well, unless she's a very, very, very successful woman, they would have been widowed.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it in my
head.
Oh,
wait, no. You could have women that obviously hadn't been married and they're just very, very successful.
I'm not seeing it that way, though, in my head.
Is that not possible, Mark? Can women not be successful in
it
life?
It is possible, Ray, but just... I kind of have a George Hook kind of head in me now and I'm finding it hard to change, if I'm being honest.
I'm setting you up to obviously
be I know, but I mean, no, but I brought that up, lad.
Yeah, you did,
You know, like I did. It is misogynistic, but you know...
That's, look, a huge cornerstone of this podcast.
It absolutely is. You wouldn't like us otherwise. No, it is a funny one, though. Like, do you think... No, that's really insulting as well, actually.
Yeah, I think we've milked this one as much as we can.
No, I'd say this one. Are you too old to be a sugar baby?
Am I... No! Sorry, Laura.
You are too old to be...
I'm not.
Well, actually, look at
I'm a fine man.
Are you... No, never mind. I've insulted the shit out of everybody and I'm trying not to. I was going to say are you Laura's sugar daddy? Have you just realised that?
If I was, she's really made a big mistake. Because if
there's no money there, there's at the
no
end of
money
the rainbow.
There. Literally, if I passed away in the morning, all she'd get left with is debt.
There ain't no pot of gold on this rainbow, Laura.
My debt, and debt,
and debt
together,
yeah. In sickness and in health,
in sickness and in debt, and indebtedness.
Anyway, I don't want to open that kind of world there right for you now, either. Yeah.
Thanks. We'll move swiftly on.
Come here. Tell me about the garden. Tell me about Night and Day and the garden party.
Right. So we start with Night and Day.
Yeah.
Which is the garden party.
Night and Day is a festival. Yes. One of the only festivals now going on in the west of Ireland
that wasn't cancelled.
One that wasn't cancelled. Obviously, Wild Roots got cancelled, which is just.
But it's funding.
Heartbreaking.
Absolutely shite. You see. Yeah. No funding. There's no support for these.
There's no support for them. And the great thing is, Kendi gigs in Sligo every weekend, and people go, "Why is the summer gone quiet?" I'll tell you why. Green Day are on. Taylor Swift is on. Rammstein. Are on, Sum 41 are on, Marley Park is open, and all the gigs are up over there, and then people are going, well, I'm kind of going to that, I bet not go out.
A bright shining light is Night and Day Festival, held in the Lochkey Forest Park.
Used to be held in Clonallis House in Castlereagh, and they said, this is nice. It is Castlereagh now, so that was good while it lasted.
Yeah, well, they went to Lochkey Forest Park, which is just outside
class.
Town
Lockie
of Boyle.
Affect
me, it's a beautiful spot.
It is still in Roscommon.
They've done something marvellous with it, and I don't know, maybe other festivals are doing this as well. It's very kids orientated. So they basically have three tents. One tent is for the big adults.
Yeah.
There'll be a tent for the ravers.
Yeah, and yoked out of it.
Yeah, yoked out of it. And then there's a tent for the children.
Yeah.
And you can come along with your kids. And the whole tent, there's loads of entertainment for the children.
Yeah.
And you can camp and the whole lot. And then the mammy and daddy then can tip over to the big tent and see their own bands.
Savage.
And the bands that they booked in were bands that mammy and daddy would like.
Brilliant, because I've been watching Glastonbury all weekend, Ray.
Ah.
And I'll just say this before you go on. The stuff that's going on in Dublin is great. I would love to have seen Green Day.
Yeah.
Right? The Longitude was on as well.
Yes.
I didn't know anything. I just didn't know anything, and none of it appealed to me at all.
Yeah.
I'm watching Glastonbury on the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company.
Yes.
If you've heard of them. Heard 1, 2, 3, 4, all of them. Anyway, they have the likes of, like, we'd say like Cyndi Lauper is up
there.
They
have everybody.
They really do cater for everyone.
Yeah.
It is unreal how much they cater for everyone. Shania Twain was in Ireland now last week. That would have been class to see.
I felt bad for Shania.
Why?
She was kind of eclipsed
She
by
was
the
eclipsed
younger
by
Taylor.
Taylor. Yeah. There was a younger horse.
Younger
in the race. I didn't mean that by that, you prick.
No. I'm going to go through.
Go on.
And this is very quickly, a very quick whip. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Shane Walken.
Yeah,
he is the owner of the company Audio Works,
and
he provided sound and lighting for the whole festival.
Did he? Yeah,
and
Jesus.
He runs a very tight ship, and it was a pleasure working with him and the lads for the whole weekend.
Yeah,
and I was so tired, and it was such hard work.
Could you get in and out? Yeah.
Like I could get in and out handy enough. I was at home, my own bed every night, so it was fine. But it was Jesus. Yeah, fair play to him, man. He was all I'd say. It's a great production.
Yeah,
there were some bands. I'm now going to. 3/4 of a tin in, and Shane will be sitting at home going, oh no, Ray, don't.
Oh, don't, Ray. I'm the same, Shane. Honestly, don't.
So here,
Ray.
I am, 3/4 of a tin in.
Don't pick local bands, please. No,
I'm just going to go through the bands that were on at the festival and give them my quick review.
Oh, I hate when you do this. I hate when you do this.
Yeah.
Go on.
Sorry about that. Dematrona, hadn't heard of them before, right? They were lovely, have to say now. Very trendy band.
Ooh.
Gemma Hayes. Had you ever heard of Gemma Hayes?
No.
Really?
No.
She's the loveliest lady you'll ever meet.
She's a DJ?
She's not, no, she sings songs. All right. She should have been around in the, I'd like to call the whole festival was the Ray Darcy Festival, as far as I can tell.
Oh, good.
It was everything that Ray Darcy used to play on his morning show on Today FM.
Okay.
So hat tip to Ray Darcy there for putting all these people together.
Jimmy Hayes was good.
Jimmy Hayes was very good, yeah. Woo. The Four of Us. Would you know who The Four of Us' song is?
No, what's The Four of Us?
Because this is the thing. I was kind of, these bands would pop up and I'd be looking at their name on the list going, Four of Us, there's a reason these lads are booked to play here. I've heard of the name. They've obviously got a song.
Yeah.
The song is, how does it go again? Something about Mary. Oh, Mary.
Why don't you have some sense? Please tell Candy all about your...
So they played like 40 minutes, 35 minutes of songs that, you know, we didn't know.
That's a pity.
Yeah, and then next thing, right, now
the one,
folks.
The one-hit wonder bands.
The one-hit wonder bands
nice are a real staple of Ireland.
And I just hadn't heard the result. I'm sure they have loads of fans. The Undertones. Have you heard of The Undertones?
I don't mind talking about The Undertones.
Good. Why do you not mind talking about
Because they're big enough, like, to take it.
Oh, good. Have you had any experience at Undertones?
None.
Ah, so super.
But they kind of remind me of Lord Restrum, Christy Dignam. When Aslan were around and people were sitting around the table, not too unlike this.
Yeah.
Festival. Now, festival. bands, let me think.
Yeah.
Aslan. Yeah. Aslan. Let's get Aslan. Great idea.
Yeah.
The Undertones kind of remind me of that. Whereas you'd go, do you hear there's a festival on out in wherever?
Yeah.
Oh, it's in Manor Hamilton. Go away, who's playing? The Undertones. Oh, for fuck's sake. If someone mentions Ash to me one more time, I'd be like, will you stop?
No, I'm coming
stop
up
Stop trying to book. Are they at us?
They're next.
Stop, Ray. I can't. But stop. Who booked? There's one person who has all these bands and is just... Yeah. Dusting off the hands every year going, that's them booked now for 45 more festivals in Ireland.
Very much.
Perfect.
Now, hold on now. The Undertones are...
Teenage Kicks. Yeah.
Ash came after them. They were marvellous. I have to say, they haven't lost it. They are still...
Give me Ash's song.
Girl from Mars. She must have been a girl from Mars.
You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. And then it was... The Saturday evening was finalised with Damien Dempsey.
Oh, no, that's good. That's good crack.
He came on with a pike, like a proper yeoman's pike from like the 1700s.
Why?
I don't know.
Is he running out of ideas?
I don't know. It's a very strange addition to the show. He marched on with a pike. Now, I think it might have been a hat tip to the whole battle that happened up in the Curlews, which is the mountains around. He must have been kind of thinking back to the old Irish.
Yeah, maybe.
You know the way he channels the old Irish chieftains and all that.
And does he have band with him still?
He's band and they were all marvellous.
Like Damien Dempsey, he is a performer.
Yeah. It was a real special night, I have to say. And like again, this is just a big, long, elongated reason to come to this next year. Then the following day, Ensemble 32 started off the day.
How many?
Which was a bunch of seven of them, or six of them.
Ensemble
right?
Six then.
They landed and they had that nervous energy of going, we've been looking forward to this gig for a long, long time. And the landing...
Good.
Yeah,
I'm
but
glad.
Then, but it's not them. You're the one person they come to and go, can we get this over here? Can I get a chair? Have you a lead for me? Where will I plug in the laptop?
Yeah.
And you're going,
says you, you shouldn't be plugging in the laptop, Sean. Where's your guitar?
Exactly. Mick Pyro. Did you ever hear of Mick Pyro?
I know exactly who Mick Pyro is. He was in You Are My Comeback Girl. You Are the Comeback Girl.
Such a bit of soul in the man. Oh yeah, and he had the girl with him.
I gigged with Mick Pyro.
Yeah, he's very good.
They are. So what was the name of the band? Republic of Loose.
Republic of Loose. But he handpicked the trendiest notionsy people in Dublin that play music and brought them down to
brilliant.
Common.
So let's talk about Mick Pyro for 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Here we go. Ming, in the European Union.
Yeah.
Before he was in the European Union, he was what's called a TD.
Right.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, so government TD. When he first got in, there's a nightclub in Castlereagh called River Island.
Yes.
Now, Castlereagh hasn't seen a famous person probably like since Douglas Hyde.
Yeah.
Okay? So
fair enough.
You know what I mean? And when he got in, he said, I'm throwing a big party for the town.
Brilliant.
And we all said, what a great idea, mate.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to bring down a big band from Dublin. And we said, I wonder if Foster and Allen free. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
have you checked Robert Mazzell?
Yeah, have you checked if Mazzell is free? Like, what's he doing? You know,
I'll play it.
And what I mean by that is the people in Castlereagh were like, okay, he said, I'm going to bring down a band called the Republic of Loose.
Yeah.
And the old ones went, I had heard this old pop music, like... And then we said, oh, I heard it's pop music. We should probably know about it. So we started listening, me and my friend Kev. And we
were like, right, so he actually...
We were like, holy shit, what a class, funky disco
very
band.
Good stuff.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So Ming then said to me and my friend Kev, Would you like to support the boys in River Island tonight?
So Lick My Kendi?
No, it wasn't Lick My Kendi. It was just a two-piece. We were 16.
Oh,
15,
lovely.
maybe even 15. And he said, you go up and play a couple of songs in front
That's
of
nice.
Thousands of people, like, in yeah. River Island, burst into River Island.
Yeah. It's a great gig.
We were backstage chatting to Mick Pyro
yeah.
and all the boys. And my only experience of him was this. He landed into soundcheck. I'm not exaggerating here now. He landed into soundcheck, clearly hungover. But we didn't know what hungover was back then. We just thought, like, oh my God, he's so cool. He's so cool. So he lands in. The band land in and set up.
Mm-hmm.
He's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to soundcheck now. He walks out from backstage.
Yeah. With he had a hood on.
With a parka jacket.
He does wear that, right, yeah.
Covered.
Yeah.
And he goes up to the mic looking like Kenny from South Park.
Right.
And he sings 30 seconds of Comeback Girl or whatever it was. Leaves again.
he's like a boxer.
5 hours later, he's not to be seen. Like,
all right.
So me and Kev never got to meet him before the gig, and we were so like, oh, he's, you know what I mean? Oh my God!
But he's got that star quality.
So
about
we
him.
Did our set, right? And we were like, we don't even know if he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much. We're 2 15-year-old flutes from Castlereagh who just happened to get to play this gig. Delighted.
Yeah.
Okay. Give it up for Republic of Loose, everybody. And we're walking off. And then out comes this unbelievably groomed, cool, slick back long hair, Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
And he just says to us, guys, that sounded really good.
Wow.
Walked by, I did a set, and we were like, oh my God.
Fair play, Israel.
It was unbelievable. And then afterwards, he talked to us. Like, afterwards, he was like, he turned into, you remember in Father's Head when...
oh, when he's on stage.
When he's on stage, he's all about it. Like, but even after the gig then, he was so... fucking sounding cool to us, like.
Savage.
I couldn't believe it. We were so buzzing for that as well. That's why I've voted for Ming every time since.
Because he gave me a party.
Gave us our first gig.
Yeah. And in fairness, again, harking back to the Roman stuff, if the government put on more games...
Now!
There was a couple more Colosseums around the place, and we got to see a couple of slaves getting eaten by his tigers.
Ming for president. Yeah. He'll roof every pool in the country. Come
Nick on. Pyro's great. Cry Before Dawn. Do you remember them?
Not a clue.
They have a song. I might drop it in here in post-production because I cannot sing it.
Okay. I can see you, but I can't hear you. Nothing
at all. I lost you, I know it's clear. There it is.
Oh, that was really good. I didn't hear it either, guys. I didn't hear it. I still don't know what the band is. Ye've all gone. Oh, yeah. I haven't.
Yeah.
Go on.
Tune will be able to listen to it after.
Yeah.
They were great. Another kind of one song band.
Right, okay.
Which basically, the last song was going to be, oh, God, that's the one
That's the one we're waiting for.
Susan O'Neill, never heard of her.
Ladies and gentlemen, Monday, play Galway Girl quick, man. I'm losing the head. July, come on now. All right, fucking, I've got home.
I hadn't heard of Susan O'Neill before. She was absolutely terrific.
Right.
She was, again, kind of artsy. Kind of band.
Yeah, a lot of those going around now, which I think is cool.
The Frankenwalters.
Right.
Have you ever heard of the Frankenwalters? Cork band.
I mean, how many of them are there now? Tell me the truth, like.
No, there's no...
How
actually,
can they all be the Frankenwalters?
There's neither a Frank nor a Walter in the band.
Oh, that's...
And that's what I found the most disappointing about them. Because I looked at the tech spec and I went, sure, there's fucking Keans and there's other fellas here. There's no Walters or Franks.
And what kind of music did they play?
They have a very good band, in fairness to them. I wouldn't know a lot of the songs they played in the first 35 minutes.
But you knew some of their songs?
I didn't know any of them.
Oh, okay.
Until they got to the last one.
Okay.
And then it was the one we all knew.
What'd you sing?
After all,
there were times when I went. Oh my God.
And it was a real wholesome moment.
Do you know what's terrible about that? I've played that as a first dance at a wedding.
Get away.
I sang that song before.
They all wear orange shirts.
Oh, man, I can't. Yeah. That's who that is. I've got sent that on by a couple as a first dance and I've learned it, played it, sang it.
It's a marvelous song.
Oh.
And they were fierce, nice fellas too, in fairness to them.
Is that definitely the same sound that we just... That is it.
That is the sound.
Yeah,
that is
okay,
their hit
good.
Song.
Yeah.
Mick Flannery was then on.
Oh, yeah. He's always tipping about.
He's
fair play
a man that I didn't expect. You know, when you meet someone, you've heard him sing a lot on the radio, and then you meet him and you go,
he was a prick.
Well, he's a beast of a man.
Yeah, he's
a
big boy.
He kind of comes out dark, kind of a beast of a man, and like, how are you?
Yeah, he's a big, big boy.
But then he sits down and he plays real heartfelt songs.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
It just shows you, we're not all... Like, obviously, I'd be the same as him now. Big, kind of masculine exterior.
Sure.
But I'm soft when it has to be. Not soft, no way. No, usually no. No, but you know what I mean? When I have to be.
Before I move on to the last one, the last one, this is apt. Bellex One.
Oh, I love Bellex One.
Bellex One are one of my favourite bands.
They
landed in at 52-seater bus, 52 of them on it.
Oh, gee, I said there was only one of them. Okay, perfect.
They were the biggest crew of the weekend.
Go away.
As in, there were 6 lads in the band,
yeah.
And then there was another 6 or 7 people with them.
Go away.
And Christ above, watching the level of German efficiency about them.
But they're Irish.
They didn't look it, I'll tell you. They came in and they swept through the stage. Yeah. And everything just happened.
Yeah,
and
they next just... thing, they
did exactly what you described, where the whole Glastonbury thing. Yeah. They literally walked on, picked up the guitars, and everything was perfect.
That's a well-oiled machine.
Oh, it was a pleasure to watch it.
Can I just say that they own my favourite lyric of all time ever in a song.
Go on.
So, there's a BellX1 song called Rocky Took a Lover.
Which works really well with Ronan Keating, The Smile on Your Face, by the way.
It is said.
Because at the end of it, they were getting the crowd to sing along, and I was just going, no smile on your face, which they probably won't enjoy.
The idea behind Rocky Took a Lover is that he looked out his window one time in Dublin, and he saw there was a homeless guy called Rocky, because he used to be a boxer,
right.
But he was homeless now, and sometimes he would sleep behind his house in a little alleyway.
Yeah.
In the housing estates.
Yeah.
And one time he looked out his window, he woke up in the morning, looked out the window, and Rocky had a female homeless woman, and they were both lying on the piece of cardboard that Rocky would usually sleep on.
Yeah.
So he had taken a lover.
Oh, it's a nice story.
And he imagined the conversation that they would have had when they woke up beside each other after a night of drinking and crack and everything, you know, and perhaps even some lovemaking.
Yes, when a man loves a woman.
Or even he imagined the conversation they would have had when they were both lying there looking up at stars.
Go on.
That's what the song does. So the idea is that they're testing each other all the time.
Yeah.
And she's cynical.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's cynical at times and whatever. Anyway, at one stage, one of the lyrics goes, I don't believe in any old Jesus. If there was a God, then why is my arse the perfect height for kicking? I just thought, how unbelievable. If there was a God out there,
why wouldn't he
have made my arse at the perfect height for people to kick it. I mean... That is, whoever the guy is who writes the songs,
Paul,
he is a genius.
He's a genius songer.
I mean, listen to The Great Defector, you're the chocolate at the end of my Cornetto. Every Irish person gets that.
Yeah.
Every Irish person goes, wow. You're talking about Mazzella calling his woman the pet.
Yeah, calling his woman the bottom of the Cornetto.
Yeah, yeah. I love the way your underwire bra sets off the X-ray machine. Like,
it's great lines.
It's unbelievable. Like,
did you ever, when at a concert, ring someone that might like the song? In the olden days.
That used to happen to me. Someone would ring me from a gig and I'm like, all I can hear is...
But I'd be at the gig going, listen to it!
I hate that. And the odd time, then they turn around try and start talking to you. No, it's fine, it's unbelievable.
No, hold on now. This is back in the day where it was mobiles and Nokias and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you'd ring people on your mobile
from
the gig. All you'd hear is...
Nothing, yeah. And you'd go, gee, that's good, yeah. Yeah. I used to like the fray.
But then now it's turned into voice notes.
Because
that's what I ended up doing. I ended up taking a voice note.
Yeah.
And now, of course, as well, with the whole FaceTime and everything, you'll FaceTime people, which is a lot easier. You can see what's going on, then you understand what the noise
that's
is.
That's a little bit better. Yeah. What song did you voice note to who?
Rocky Took a Lover.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yeah. You like that song as well. Who did you voice note it to?
I voice noted it to Laura.
Oh, did you? Yeah. And did she like that song as well?
Well, no, she didn't. I just said, isn't this marvellous?
Did they do the laid-back version or the bam, bam? Did they go fully forced?
Oh, they went full sputzy.
Yeah, good.
But that's where I started singing a bit of Ronan Keating at the end.
They are so good, BellX1. They're really underappreciated, aren't they? Yeah, the Great Defector. What a great band.
Finally,
what a great band.
Speaking of great bands, the last thing I'll talk about, I know it's been literally the weekend review.
Yeah.
Weekend in review.
Yeah.
We ended up last night, a good friend of the podcast, Lorraine O'Reilly, which is Sean O'Reilly's sister, is singing with the Russell Crowe Indoor
Garden
Party Band. Yeah. Russell Crowe obviously is very famous Academy Award winning actor.
Yeah.
But he also likes to play a few tunes.
He does.
And he sings.
Sings tunes.
Now, I won't lie to you. Up to yesterday afternoon, I was under the impression that Russell was an okay singer.
And just did it for the crack.
And he was just doing it for the crack, and he had assembled this absolutely spectacular band of people around him, including Sean O'Reilly's sister.
Yeah.
Which we were delighted with. We're going, you're dead right, she's marvellous.
She is. Lorraine is. My God.
We went up to the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin last night. And we seen the show. And Lorraine started off and she sang some of her own songs. That was brilliant. The Rileys were in, the Riley family were in one of the fancy boots up the top.
The one where Lincoln got shot.
The boot that you normally have to have a lot of money in. So they were, and you knew they were.
And Sean didn't have glasses. He had the ones that you hold, you know.
But you knew they didn't have money and they didn't belong there because they were waving at everyone. You never see rich people waving. They were flat out.
Look where we are. That is so fucking funny. You can't take half an ounce of them. Look at us up here like a bunch of fucking idiots.
I'd say Lorraine was annoyed because she was literally above her head.
Oh, that's
and they
so
were just going,
funny.
How are you doing, Lorraine? You're doing marvellous.
No, you have to be. The only thing you can do interactive is to spit down on the peasants below you. You can't be going off enjoying it and waving at everyone. Oh,
But
that was brilliant.
The shocking thing I took from the gig last night, and people might say, why would you go see Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, the man can actually sing very well.
Yeah.
And he's such a showman. He's got some tremendous tunes. And as an added bonus, between the songs, he told stories.
That is my ideal gig.
This is an Academy Award winning actor telling stories about eating tarantulas abroad in Mexico.
I love that. I love that. That's the show I would go and see.
It's very good.
Do go away with your Ash and all that crack.
No,
honestly.
Ash are good too.
No, Ash are good, like, but that I'd rather see that, like.
I got Ash wrong, by the way. When I seen it on the text bag, I said, who was ASH? I was the oldest I've ever felt.
Ash are an old band as well. Like,
I know, but I should know when I see Ash written on a piece of paper that I know it's Ash, the band, not ASH.
Come here, the Russ Crowe show was unreal.
It was unreal, and if anyone ever has an opportunity in future life to go see Russell Crowe's Indoor Garden Party, I would recommend you go.
I'm sick, I missed it, genuinely.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't ask you.
Yeah, no one asked me, because I don't get asked these things, thank God.
Yeah, thank God. And of course, there was the awkward moment after as well. We were kind of hoping, because obviously Lorraine was playing in the band, we knew that obviously Russell, once he finished his gig, he was going to be going to an Irish bar.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's a Monday night in Dublin, so he's probably going to, obviously any bar will open up and go, yeah, come on in here, never mind the licensing laws, it'll be fine, the government will understand.
Yeah, right, Australian time now, Russell, so you're in.
We were kind of waiting outside, kind of awkwardly, kind of going, with the Rileys. So all the Rileys were there, the whole family, because Lorraine is obviously in the band, and they're all patiently waiting to find out where are we going to go now to hang out with our sister, who will also be hanging out with Russell Crowe. And we, as friends of the Riley family, were standing beside them. You know, patiently waiting to find out when are we going to get told where we need to go to meet Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
We didn't. You know when you go up to Sean, you kind of said, Sean, we're going to head on now. And you're kind of hoping Sean turns around and goes,
give it a few minutes.
Wait, no, Sean went, good luck, folks. See you now. I thought Sean would look after us.
All the stuff you've done
for him. The things I've done for Sean O'Reilly in all the years. And he couldn't just get us 5 minutes with the greatest actor that ever lived.
I wouldn't mind, but one of our good friends of the podcast here, Richard Clark Elliott, put up a photo of him meeting him.
He did, now.
And you didn't get to meet him.
I didn't get to meet him because I was looking for a free meet. Richard Clark Elliott, he paid for the VIP.
Oh, you go for the Lux Extravaganza package.
The Lux Extravaganza package where you get to sit in the front row.
You thought Sean would let you bypass
this. I thought Sean, of all men known a deal when he seen one, that he'd get the four of us in.
Do you know something? If I was there, Ray, and my sister was playing with, I would have said,
thank you,
wait.
Matt. Thank you, appreciate that.
And it just shows you.
Who your friends are.
He's a piece of garbage.
Shit.
He's a piece of shit. Piece of garbage.
I had to console Laura the whole way home in the car.
Oh, you want to do is
she's,
Russell's
she's my pet of a woman, my Laura. Yeah. But she's crying on my shoulder. Because all she wanted to do is meet Russell, like.
Ah, fucking hell.
Anyway.
Lorraine would have said, Lorraine has a lot more about her now than Sean does now. She would have said,
Lorraine would have sorted that out. And I'd say Lorraine was thick with Sean.
She'd be still ripping with him.
Where are the rest of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean sent them off home. He wanted Russell all to himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ray, can I leave you one thing before we go? Because we do have to go. Or have you anything else that you have to get on to?
I don't
that's
think
really
I have
important.
Anything else. No, no.
Come here. Have you heard of something called the Mandela Effect?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then say in the mover.
Right.
We'll explain it in a second. Can you sing that song that the Snow White and the Seven Dwarves used to sing? The hi-ho one.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go.
It is. That's where we're going. It's the whole point of the show.
Okay, perfect.
Right.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's home from work we go.
Yeah, it's off to work we go.
It's home from work we go is 100% what it is. Not once does it say it's off to work we go. Never,
all right, okay.
Never once
play
in
it again.
The history
maybe
of the
maybe I'm
thing.
Drunk.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's home from work we go.
Oh my God!
Never once has it ever said, thank you Neil Kenny for pointing that out to me. Never once, you will not find anywhere where they say it's off to work.
But then the funny thing is, why would they be singing about being off to work? Sure, no one sings when they're off to work. You sing when you're going home from work.
Ray, what happens it's one of the most famous things of all time. In Star Wars, when he finds out who his father is.
Oh, he says, what you call him, Darth?
Darth
Vader says,
Luke, I am your father.
I am your father.
And where's the Luke bit?
He doesn't say Luke.
Apparently, what do you mean he doesn't say Luke?
Apparently he says, no, I am your father. He does not say Luke once in the whole film.
What's this now? You're
Mandela
freaking
effect.
Me out. Nelson Mandela.
It's the Nelson Mandela
effect.
What did
he do? What did he have to do with all this?
The Mandela effect started with a group of people, a whole group of people who said, but your Mandela's been dead since the 80s.
Yeah.
He only died in 2013. And they said, how have we all collectively just believed that he was dead in the 80s?
Oh, and that's what, so it is actually called after Mandela.
So it is called after Mandela.
Ah.
He's only dead since 2012, 2013.
Poor fella.
The Mandela effect is that we have all believed,
yeah,
everyone collectively has believed that it's after work we go.
Yeah.
Never once ever has it been after work we go. It's never once been said. So how did we all think that then? How did everyone collectively think that? How did everyone collectively think and constantly quote, Luke, I am your father, when it is in fact, no, I am your father?
My brain hurts now.
The Mandela effect.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
We leave you all with that one. Lads, don't forget the very, very limited availability of tickets for the live show on the 8th of August in the Garavogue with special guest Carl Spain are now available on Ticketmaster.ie if you search for the Kenji Rainbow podcast. The other thing we have to say is, if you're watching us right now,
yeah,
if you happen to be watching this right now, it means you're on Patreon,
yeah,
which then means that you get to go to the gig for free on one condition.
You have to let us know you're coming.
Email us and let us go. We're going to send out a mass Patreon post to everybody.
Yeah.
Reply to us and let us know that, yes, you do in fact want to go to the gig for, yeah, free because you're a Patreon member and we will put you on the list.
Speaking of free things.
Go on.
The wonderful, the best brewery in Ballymote.
One of the top five breweries in Ballymote.
One of the top five breweries
for sure
in the Ballinacaro Ballymote area.
No.
Owned by the Bob Coggins,
yeah,
Cog Bobbins, he has graciously said that the first 25 people in at 7 o'clock. So if you're in Mayor's Bar at 7 o'clock
for the pre-show,
we'll say this many times. Literally, there's 25 pints going to begging
of White Hag, which now is the finest brewery.
You can come in on your own and drink all 25, or 25 people can come in and have a pint each. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, we think probably all you'll have to do is walk in and show your Ticketmaster ticket and say, hi, I'm going to the show.
Yeah.
Bob Coggins of the White Hag Brewery, who has been a guest on this show before, has, yeah, left a keg behind the bar.
Yeah,
you'll get it for that.
And you know something? That's the way you say it. You need, yeah, to go up to the barman and you have to say, Bob, put a pint behind the bar for me.
That's it. So that's
if you say the words, Bob, put a pint behind the bar for me,
you'll get a free pint of White Hag.
So,
oh, that's a great, yeah, between seven and,
because that's a lovely thing. You only go to a pub. It's a nice thing you can do for someone in Ireland is put a pint for them behind
now,
the bar.
And Bob, put a pint for you behind the bar. Yeah. As long as you're there.
As long as you're there before the show.
Yeah, before
and,
the show.
And before it runs out. Because, yes, there's only so many pints.
There's only a keg there.
Yeah.
There's only a keg there, yeah, lads, and that's it.
Yeah.
Come here, we can't wait for it. Thanks so much to
That's August the 8th, by the way.
Yeah, August the 8th at, yeah, 8 p.m.
At 8.
The doors are at 8 a.m. in the morning. Come here. Big thanks to James for flicking the keys clean off himself.
Happy 250.
250 episodes, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's
in
the 250
bag.
More.
I thought you'd never say it, Ray. I love you.
And cheers.
That's awkward.
That happened.
I said, I love you, and he said, cheers.
Yeah. What else do you do?
Fuck this. Ray, fair play to me.
Fair play to me.
Good luck.
Good luck. I do love you.
Thanks.
The Kendi and Rabo Podcast, sponsored by Maeve's Cozy Front Lounge and the Garavogue.